never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Fáilte go dtí an Scannán Podcast ever thrucka ocht.
He's speaking what? In tongues.
Welcome to the 38th Scannán Podcast.
Where's Matt Goncedo when you need him?
Yes, indeed. Yes, thank you, Noel.
You'd only start speaking Swedish.
No, we don't want that.
No.
It's bad enough he's going to be playing some sort of bad guy in a film. You know, I'd hate to see Max von Sydow go into some, you know, into that sort of one-note role. Or
oh, heaven forbid.
Yes.
I like to play with things.
He's in the new...
Before Annihilation.
He's in the new Star Wars. He's definitely going to be a bad guy.
Hang on. He's in the new Star Wars?
Yes.
My interest for this... I might actually have some interest for this.
Don't worry, the world will ruin it for you over
the next
10 months or so.
Yep.
Ah, yes. But one can hope, and I still live in
God,
the desert. God, I great.
Kind of part of me wishes I'd be dead before next December, you know that? So we'll have to listen to the madness.
Yeah, we're not suffering from the January blues at all.
No, not now. I'm fine now. There's good films out now. It's next December.
Next December, we'll be heading into a brand new January and brand new
That's
Oscar
true.
Season.
So. But you have to get over that bloody mountain that is Star Wars. Anyway.
What have you been watching, Jason?
I will begin with 20,000 Days on Earth.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Okay.
One of my documentaries of the year.
I would love to see her and go, wait, and nobody tell me about this, except you both told me about this.
Yeah.
But
say it anyway.
Is it a documentary?
Ish.
Ish. It really, really blurs the line.
Yeah.
Well, still getting at the essential truth of the documentary, get at that Nick Cave is a genius, clearly, obviously.
He is.
Remarkably confident. And interesting and strange in all his way. And I love Nick Cave anyway.
Yeah.
For some reason I didn't get to see him come out. It's basically a journey into his head, isn't it? It's basically all his little kind of ways, things he's done. Like there's kind of, it's like a greatest hits of things he's done. Touches on his movies, his music.
It's what we always expected.
Life.
His head is a wonderful place to
be.
Oh,
isn't it? I could spend days there.
And get to know Stag Lee, all that kind of thing.
It's like it's funny, it's daring, it's off kilter.
It's great.
It's so well made
and
so
fun,
clever
too.
And really
so,
good fun.
So witty.
Yeah, and some great, great characters in it, like great actors, I suppose it's people, but is it?
But then the real life people come in, Warren Ellis, Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, Warren Ellis was just, you know, making dinner.
I wanted in on that meal.
So did I.
Oh. I need to watch that again and fast.
I kind of want to watch it again too. It's a wonderful piece.
Mm.
The Cave is very dry and very funny and I liked it a lot.
And also something has happened that hadn't happened in a little while. Jay watched the documentary.
Yeah, I'm back. Stay tuned, folks, there may be more on the way. I mean, not today, but soon.
Verily.
Maybe not tomorrow, but soon or for
the rest
of
my life. It was great. Recommend it. I followed up with the next day with Mystery Road, which was on in JDIF last year, if I'm correct, and you saw it.
I did.
It's not bad. I could sit here and probably try to dredge up reasons why I didn't like it, and it's very difficult because there's nothing wrong with it, per se.
It is very well made. This is Ivan Sen's thriller about an Aboriginal cop investigating a murder.
Yeah. Which, okay, they set up the whole thing. There's nothing you haven't seen before.
This is what my problem with it.
That's
fairly rough.
You kind of know what's going to happen, relatively speaking. It's so well shot. But, I mean, that at the Outback, it's very... Like, you'd want to be a really bad cinematographer to not get something out of it.
Exactly.
It's like the sunsets and everything are staggering.
Yeah.
And the story is great. The guy with the cowboy hat, so it's kind of essentially sheriff kind of thing going on. It's very enjoyable. Just not... Doesn't really add up too much at the end. It's kind of like, okay.
It threatens to fit from
I
memory.
Suspect if you ask me 3 months from now, I'd forgotten pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
Which is a pity. What are you going to watch it?
It's one Hugo Weaving away from forgetfulness.
He's good. And you kind of watched him, was like, you should be in more stuff with bigger roles.
And not with the Wachowskis.
No. No. Not 100 more of Mr. Henderson's. I can't take any more.
Anderson's.
Yeah.
Mr. Henderson. Now I'm just thinking Harry and the Hendersons.
Bigfoot Henderson.
He's Agent Smith. He's not.
Yeah, I know, but I'm doing what he says. I know he's not.
Well,
anywho,
that is the sound of inevitability.
That's the sound of a tool chest falling down a stairs.
Okay, I know what's happened here. The lads have gone off the reservation slightly.
Supporting Home Alone.
Okay.
Next.
Okay, yeah, my last choice, which I watched, and the whole, I should listen to Philip Award, goes to The Imitation Game. This is poor. There's two things here. One, I didn't know Morten Tilden directed it, who directed the absolutely abysmal Headhunters. If I hadn't known that for a watch, I didn't really connect it. I wouldn't even have watched it. Such is my disgust for that film. But anyway, we watched it. We wanted to see all the films that are up there for the award season, so on and so forth. It's so badly written and so shoddily directed. Mm-hmm. And it's a story that's, like, it's a home run. You'd have to work really hard to mess it up. It's a great story.
What happened?
Keira Knightley gets to look worried.
She does it very well, to her credit.
That's all she gets. She didn't get anything else.
She's there for a reason. I mean, character, she was a real friend of Turing's.
Yeah, but
it's there to frame his...
Yeah.
Give him a hetero... heteronormative relationship to frame the story.
Yeah. Cumberbatch does surprisingly well in the sense of... What do you give him to work with is poor. And I think... He does well in some areas. So I don't think he's brilliant, but I think he's very good. And he could have and should have been better with a better director and a better screenplay.
Mm. It's like they told him at the start, okay, you're playing a tortured genius. Right, what's my motivation? Tortured genius. Anything else? No, tortured genius, that's it.
The screenplay is so clunky. It's like, you know, and then there's...
You can smell the plot beat to my
mind. And then it's like, you know, we're in 1951, then we're 1939. It's okay, we're going to have a back and forth. No, let's go back even further for the most obvious subplot in history. Mm. I wonder what the name of the other kid is. Hmm. It's so clunky.
Mm. That wasn't the name of his computer either. It wasn't called Christopher.
Was it not?
No.
Oh, now they're just manipulating history for unentertaining entertainment.
I've given it 2 stars on Letterboxd. I might have to take a half star away just for that knowledge alone. It's...
Put the half star back on for Charles Dance, though.
He's great, and I read up a little bit and found out that the character that he plays was actually a really nice guy and really helped him and stuff like that, so we changed that as well, just for the...
To make him a crusty old
the familiar bad guy in the thing. Yeah, yeah, crusty old is perfect. But Dance does that so well, you'll forgive it in some ways. He doesn't get enough screen time. No.
Is there a film out there in which Charles Dance dances?
I'm thinking The Last Boy Scout. Was he in that? No, not The Last Boy Scout. The Last Action Hero.
I don't think he dances in it, though.
Pity!
Visions of him doing dancing somewhere. Maybe
it's come on! It could be this generation's Garbo Talks. Dance! Dances!
Charles Dance does safety dance.
Yeah, we want Dance dancing. Somebody tell us that if it's happened.
It would help The Imitation Game.
Not
much would have.
That and me, or any 5-year-old writing a screenplay with a crayon would have helped it.
Not a fan then?
No. Do you know what? You watch a lot of films and they're not that good. Fine. You'll move on wherever. It's just like...
Not that good, and it should have been.
And it has it all there. The tools are there. Just an incompetent worker.
Mm. What did you think of the CGI?
They were superfluous to the whole film, and B, they looked dreadful.
They are appalling.
They look like, what was that film that was made years back? That was kind of cutting edge kind of one, that everything is in CGI, in the airplanes and stuff. It was actually not bad. It was Kerry Condon's film, was it?
Jude Law, yeah.
There's an element of the Sky Captain to how it was designed. And it looked like the Sky Captain CGI team came in and hadn't upgraded anything. So, why are we looking at that? Like, what is that? Like, I get they're trying to connect what he does to the war, but the fact that it's Enigma, it's Bletchley Park, that is the war. It's the war at home. You don't need battles. You don't need anything silly.
I'd forgotten the Sky Captain exists.
Yeah.
I shall now go back to forgetting it exists. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The historical inaccuracies are quite something in the Imitation.
Quite alarming.
Yeah,
the other one
is that the spy bloke was not in his tent, nowhere near him at all.
But just, you know, we need something. I'm going to reveal him, and then I'm going to find out he's homosexual, and then
we'll blackmail each other.
Yeah, it's like, that's...
Who keeps
pointless.
Who keeps trying to give Alan Leach a career?
Yeah, I wish you'd stop. Stop that.
Anyway.
Yeah, so yeah.
Hello, Talon Leech.
Yeah, he's just turned us off in disgust.
Like he's listening.
Yeah, he probably should be, because career advice is coming soon, Alan. Go ahead, Philip, I'm undone with the
I can't really...
He's a dub.
You never know. Jake will be wandering in with a black eye next week.
Sorry, I was only kidding. He wasn't the worst thing in it, I will say that.
No.
He certainly wasn't.
There were a lot of bad things. I can't really top that. I won't even try. I'm just... What did I watch? I fulfilled the promise I made last week. I went to see National Gallery.
So you're the one.
Actually, there were quite a few. There were only two screenings in the entire city last weekend.
Were you the youngest there by some distance?
Huh? I don't know. I counted a few.
It's screening again this weekend.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, IFI. It's 3 hours in the presence of great art and the people who help keep us great. It's wonderful. Lovely immersion. Again, the time might put people off. So might Frederick Wiseman's approach. It's all fly in the wall. There's no direct camera stuff, anything like that. But it's so immersive. You just get sucked in. And, of course, the works themselves are glorious. And he also got to film there at a very interesting time. Big exhibitions by Da Vinci, Titian, and Turner. All looking very well. Yeah, it's on again this weekend. Go.
I probably won't, but what I will say is...
Thanks, Jack.
I've a lot on this weekend, but I'm going to try and at least start watching at Berkeley, so I'll get hold of it.
Good. Now we're starting to respect my authority.
Yes, indeed. Screw you, guy.
I'm going in. Oh, South Park, every time.
Yeah.
Niall.
So the big release I watched was Foxcatcher, and we'll come back to that later in the top 10. But I watched Kevin Costner's Draft Day, the film that did so well in the UK that it closed in one cinema after 1 week.
One cinema?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cineworld at Leicester Square, I'm guessing. Wow. That's bad.
Yeah.
That cost like £200, I think.
Nothing. Yeah, wow. Basically, yeah.
That's...
Oh, come on, Kev. Man of Steel wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Wait,
you can say everything you like about Postman or Waterworld. Draft Day in terms of box office.
Yeah. I kind of like Waterworld. Postman, not so much.
Oh, you're the one.
Waterworld's fine. It's not worse than a lot of bloody...
There's a theme park ride based after
it. It's bloody boring.
Yeah, it's fine. I like it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I loved it, but I liked it.
It's no Cutthroat Island.
The film that made water explode. Great score though, but bad film.
H2O boy.
Was that the one that sunk Gina Davis?
Hey.
And Matthew Modine.
Yeah, I like Matthew Modine. I like Gina Davis too. She's fine.
Rennie Harlan though.
No one likes Rennie Harlan. I don't think even Rennie Harlan likes Rennie Harlan.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I did like Cliffhanger though.
The only type of Rennie to give you indigestion.
Yeah.
So anyway, Oscar Wilde here.
Yeah, so anyway, Draft Day is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm into American football and I'm aware of the draft and I tend to watch it from when it's on but it's just fine.
I suspect we've hit on the crux of why it didn't do well. American football. On this side of the water.
Well, the American football is pretty big over this side of the water now.
I mean, we have seen some films centred around American football do very well.
But the thing is, say something like Any Given Sunday, that actually has some football action in it, plus big shouty Al.
Yeah, but Draft Day is not about football, it's about the draft, and it's not so much about that, it's about sort of shenanigans, you know. And
Moneyball it ain't.
Yeah, Moneyball it is not, no. But just... A guy trying to better his position in the draft, and
films have come out before. Baseball films have come out. You know, I mean, then baseball's even less popular than.
And Kevin Costner is in one of them, Bull Durham.
Also, yeah, but I'm thinking. Remember the Fan, Tony Scott's film. Rob De Niro, Wesley Snipes.
Vaguely,
I saw that cinema.
Wow,
you can make a film about any sport. I mean, boxing's one.
Sport
that
is universal.
Is one the least. I mean, boxing worldwide. You know, it's popular here in Ireland, but worldwide it wouldn't
sports
be that popular.
Sports popular here in Ireland.
No,
to say.
Boxing. but you know, worldwide it wouldn't be that. Popular.
I mean, yeah, you mean America, Ireland, UK, maybe
Russia, and stuff. But it doesn't
tell.
Yeah, but like Racing Bull, you know.
Oh well,
Cinderella, man.
Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were kings, there's still...
What was the one with De Niro and Stallone? I missed that one.
Grudge Match.
I missed Grudge Match.
I wonder why.
Because I was busy crying in a corner in the room. Embarrassment that De Niro...
I remember seeing the poster for that at a bus stop, and I just thought De Niro looked like a melted John Wayne.
I watched it on a plane.
I wouldn't even do that.
Yeah,
I'd be willing to faint. I'd be going at the emergency exit door like a madman.
It was a long flight back from Hong Kong.
So, yay or nay to Draft Day?
Check it out if you have any interest in Kevin Costner.
Which I do. I like Kevin Costner. And watch Tin Cup if you haven't. It's great.
Oh, I love Tin Cup.
Tin Cup is amazing.
Yeah. And Bull Durham.
Yeah. But Tin Cup's the movie that, if I catch it at any point on TV, I'll watch the whole thing. It doesn't matter what time of day.
He made a baseball film before Bull Durham. He didn't go, he made a baseball before Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is good.
It falls in the same category as Home Alone. A lot of sappy sentimentality gets in the way of your... Nostalgia's in the way there.
What?
It's okay.
I disagree.
I have a very soft spot for that film.
So this is my point. You're all soft spots. Analyse these things!
I think it works.
Maybe I need to rewatch it. Oh, do I really have to do that?
No.
Good.
Anyway, onto the news. And we'll start with the Golden Globes, because they were just on, so they seem to be the most pertinent thing. And so what do we think of Golden Globes overall? You stayed up to watch it.
I did, because I'm an idiot. They were fine. I mean, the awards, mostly predictable. The Best Film, Comedy, Musical, granted Best Hotel, Beano Birdman was an interesting one. Considering Birdman arguably shouldn't have been in the category anyway.
It kind of sits on the fence between
the
two.
Yeah, it does. But
that happens all the time, though.
Yeah.
Birdman won Best Screenplay, I think.
And Best Actor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Best Actor was kind of obvious. Best Screenplay, I think everybody thought it might go the other way. Anderson might get the reward for Screenplay.
It was
and then
whatever one film didn't get, the other
was, yeah. It's a shot in the arm for
Graham
Budapest as well.
Imitation Game script was up for Best Screenplay.
Well, I just call the script as generous now.
I'm just a bit disappointed they went with Linklater for director.
I'm fine with Linklater getting director.
In fairness, that's the thing that I would happily see Boyhood win, because the ambition of it.
Better than Best Picture, anyway.
Also, he's a fine director, he's made some fine films. He's not going to get the reward for it before film, because they don't really appear in the radar, so I'm happy with him to get
why.
Something.
Hollywood. But in terms of director, I would rather see Inarritu or Anderson get it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like Bennett Miller, personally. Or Jonathan Glazer, who hasn't... Underskin has got an absolute look in, despite you've heard on many of the top lists in America of best films. But there you go.
There you go.
It's the difference between critics and the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
But even like Underskin won't get an Oscar, kind of. Like, I mean, I think it's number 10 or 11 on the list of, say, it's been 9 in the last couple of years, as in 9 films for Best Picture.
9, yeah. It's because of the voting. 10 is incredibly unlikely. It's because of the percentages that you need.
And like you think Underskin would get into a list of 9, but
we've talked about these percentages before, and the conclusion we have to arrive at is that it's all nonsense,
of course,
arbitrary. There are rules for best documentary and best foreign language.
Oh, best foreign language
all
is a mess.
Nonsense.
It's an absolute mess.
There are rules for best original music for where you don't have
Birdman. Birdman
wasn't even on the long list.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Birdman's been ruled out because it uses a piece of classical music.
Birdman's score is terrific and should be in there.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It's some of the rules are just.
Idiots, we'll stay up and watch it.
Of course we will. It's the Oscars.
Speak for yourself.
And you won't. You're
talking about the other nonsense ceremony, the Golden Globe. So
I said I was such a disdain. I aspire to be
a purist. I'm a purist. Yes,
you disgust me with your purity.
My purity.
Your purity disgusts me and offends me.
I disgust and offend a lot of people, including myself.
Thanks for that.
Bit of confessional.
Best actor in a motion picture drama went to Eddie Redmayne.
I haven't seen Theory of Everything yet. Who else was up there again?
Steve Carell, Benedict Cumberbatch, Jake Gyllenhaal, and David Oyelowo.
Carell is not getting much of a look in.
He's not.
I have yet to see Selma, so I can't comment on the others.
Of those, of that selection, for me, it would have been between Redmayne and
Carell.
And Carell.
How about Gyllenhaal? He's great.
Gyllenhaal's good. I've heard him in Enemy, though.
Me too. I thought he was fine in Nightcrawler, but
Because he's playing two roles now. He's exercising a lot of muscle.
Yeah, and he's fine with Nightcrawler. I can see why he's getting
good.
A nomination for
he's
it. But
definitely very good.
It's more of a star turn, whereas I think there's some more subtle going on in Enemy, which I prefer, personally.
Best actress in motion picture drama, Julianne Moore for Still Alice.
No arguments. I was hoping she'd do the double, but that would
yes, because she was also nominated in best actress for musical or comedy for Master of Stars.
I'd love to see the double.
Amy
really
Adams won.
So. That would have been, but oh well.
Amy Adams won, yeah.
For Big Eyes. Well, that's more of a
I haven't seen Big Eyes.
Yeah, but remind me who was nominated for best actress comedy besides
Emily Blunt, Helen Mirren, Julianne Moore, and Convention A. Wallace.
Right. Of that list, I haven't seen Into the Woods or Annie or The 100-Foot Journey, but let's face it, it was always going to be Amy Adams or Julianne Moore, and they were always going to go for Amy Adams because Julianne Moore is in a comedy, apparently, but the funniest bit is her on the toilet.
It's not a comedy.
Only in the darkest sense.
It's satire, therefore.
It's dark, weird satire.
Yeah, satire fits into the comedy.
She's still better than Adams, and Adams is still far better than the film she's forced to be in, The Dreadful Big Eyes.
Yeah. And Helen Mirren is good, but The 100-Foot Journey is not, so...
Well, there you go.
Yeah. It's just so much blah.
Hasn't there not been more performances that... I mean... Do they have to keep nominating Helen Mirren all the time?
And Meryl Streep.
They're fine actresses both, and I'm not kind of... But can't they just get somebody else in, just for once? I'd like a year where the actress that's been doing it for the last 50 years and has 100 nominations was left out, and the actor that's playing the guy that the Hollywood epic-y, weepy, prestige-y film was left out, and he just actually went on the performance that's in the film that might not necessarily be the everybody's tastes. How about that for a change for 1 year?
That would be good. Supporting actor, we had one of those cases where it was somebody who'd been around forever and now is doing a movie and they want to give him a nomination. Robert Duvall for The Judge.
Yeah. Didn't see it, won't see it, heard it.
J.K. Simmons won.
That's fine, I'm not arguing with that.
Me either.
Even just for Oz alone, he deserves it.
He's insane with that. We'll talk more about Whiplash. Yeah.
But the other, Dan Ethan Hawke, Edward Norton, and Mark Ruffalo, that category.
Hawke was very, very good in Boyhood. I've said it before and I'll say it again. He and Arquette make that film.
Yeah.
Well, Arquette won.
No arguments.
I've been a Patricia Arquette fan for a long time.
Oh, same here.
Hell, I almost forgive him for his Stigmata.
How's
your fate these days, lad?
Johansson won Best Original Score for Theory of Everything.
He's a contemporary of Abel Korzeniowski, and you can hear that in the music.
That's a fine name.
Johansson. Yes. Easily remembered. Johansson. Now, repeat after me. David Oyelowo.
I'm not attempting that.
Best Original Song with John Legend and Common for Glory from Selma. So Selma actually won something.
Thank you.
And How to Train Your Dragon 2 was a surprise winner of Best Animated.
Everything's not awesome!
You wouldn't be too disappointed. You're a big fan of it, right? I really liked it. I probably didn't like it quite as much as you, but I did enjoy it.
It was the second time when I saw it in IMAX that I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. Yeah.
It didn't. Lego Movie didn't win? Too bad!
Yes, indeed.
It deserved it.
Yeah.
But alas.
But Leviathan won Best Foreign Language.
Of that selection, no grumbles.
Yet to see it. It sounds like it's right up my street.
It is.
And I will see it.
It's long and it's miserable.
Oh, yes.
It's excellent.
Oh, I love long and miserable.
Oh, man. Winter Sleep is going to knock you for six.
Yay.
That is a miserable film.
Yeah.
We should stress, though, we really like it.
Yes.
Well, I really like
Philip
it.
Philip likes
it. I'm never going to watch it again. And I'm glad that I've seen it. But, yeah.
That is the most damning with faint praise I've heard today. It's a film and it's long. I'll never watch it again. It's on the poster.
It's a very...
You wouldn't say that about Hobbit 3, would he?
No, he would not.
I can't guarantee that I won't see that again. I probably will.
This is a problem, though. This is actually an intervention.
Well, I will definitely go see Guardians of the Galaxy again.
Fuck, crying out loud. I'm about to break our PG-13 limit here.
So the BAFTA nominations were out as well.
Oh, dear. This is a scandal.
Oh, God, do we have to talk about that? I'm just going to get angry again.
We do have to
Good
talk about
Lord, what is wrong with people?
So Mr. Turner was snubbed. This is what's leading to their ire not being brooked.
Brook your ire, sir! Yes.
It's beyond a scandal. It's a...
Ridiculous.
It's class warfare, isn't it? Essentially.
It is raising that
and
issue. Is
the BAFTAs love Mike Lee. They've always
not this year. Yeah, I don't know why. Mr. Turner is one of his best.
Timothy Bloody Spall
is marvellous.
He won Best Actor at Cannes.
Yeah.
Imagine if an Irish actor won Best Actor at Cannes and was snubbed at the IFTA. I know, it's like,
could you imagine? Oh, Jay, something you're like not that, in the same ballpark at all.
I know, but you know what I'm getting at.
It's
insanity.
Absolute
insanity.
Meanwhile, Imitation Game gets however many nods.
Yeah, because it's big and it's flag wavy and they want to win the Oscars.
Are these things limited to the posh? Is that the question
you're
asking?
That's my question.
What, the BAFTA voters?
Maybe.
BAFTA voters are members of the Academy.
It's not like the Academy to go for prestige. Not
the Academy, but the British Film Academy.
How can the same films that are not particularly great keep topping up in every award nomination group? I mean, I genuinely don't think I'm wrong in saying that The Imitation Game has problems. I mean, by any reason, even if people like it more than I do, it has some issues. I mean, at least we can,
it has issues, yeah.
Big issues.
But it's up for Best Film and Best Outstanding British Film. Outstanding British Film has some nice ones in it, though. It has 71, Paddington, Pride, Under the Skin.
Yeah, but it doesn't have Mr. Turner.
No. Jay, to answer your question, I hate to suggest that the cream of the film industry are all just having one big circle jerk. But
they are. I'm no problem with Paddington being there. I can see why it's there. Pride is fine.
The point is, none of them are Mr. Turner.
No, they're not. Under the skin aside.
Where's Under the Skin?
It's in the Best British Film.
I'm actually shocked how that's there.
Yeah.
How is that?
If they ignored that, I think I'd destroy the Baptist. Yeah.
So, Best Film, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Theory of Everything.
Where's Mr. Turner? I'm going
or
on like a broken record here.
Or Under the Skin.
Well, these are all ones that are going to be in Oscar contention.
Yeah,
so
it's a lick-arse competition for the Oscars then, is it?
Yeah.
To a certain extent,
yes. But then I don't care about it.
If they give it to either Grand Budapest Hotel or Birdman, they won't.
They won't, it'll go to Boyhood.
Of course it'll go to Boyhood, because everything's going to Boyhood.
Well, to be honest, I can live with it. I could live with better films being nominated and Boyhood winning because of which people like it.
It might go to The Theory of Everything.
Yeah.
It's a British film academy.
Theory of Everything's okay, though. As long as it's not The Imitation Game.
Oh God, I couldn't take it.
Well, Outstanding British Film has The Imitation Game, Theory of Everything, in addition to those four that I mentioned earlier.
Of that list, the clear winner is Under the Skin. But if it went to 71 or Theory of Everything, I wouldn't grumble too much.
I would, and I shall.
Outstanding debut by a British writer, director, or producer: Northern Soul, 71, Lilting, Kiaki, The True Story, and Pride.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Not to offend me there.
Nope. Not film not in the English language. Ida, Leviathan, The Lunchbox, Trash, and 2 Days, One Night.
Trash.
It's because Bloody Daldry is behind the camera, isn't
that
it? And Richard Curtis is on the screenplay, too.
That reminds me, Jay, I have an invite for the press screening, if you're interested.
I'm busy wherever day that is, Philip. I am washing my hair.
What's left of it?
Oh, it's on. Baby.
It's all for comedic effect.
Enjoy trash, people.
We don't diss the do.
Don't diss the do.
Best documentary nominations: 20 Feet from Stardom, 20,000 Days on Earth, Citizen 4, Finding Vivian Mayer, and Virunga.
20 Feet from Stardom?
It was eligible this year because of when it came out in DFA.
Well, sure, it might win. Sure, it beat Bloody Thing to be Oscar House.
I told you that was going to happen.
Yeah, but it shouldn't have happened.
It's got to be Citizen 4, doesn't it?
It has to be Citizen 4.
You would have thought so. I haven't seen that either. I need to see that.
You do.
Animated
film, Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, and the Lego Movie. How to Train Your Dragon, The Winner of Golden Globes, is not in there.
I haven't seen Big Hero 6. I liked The Box Trolls. Didn't love it, but I liked it.
And you know how we feel about the Lego Movie.
Yeah, we might have mentioned it on occasion throughout the year.
Yeah.
Hi, buddies!
Director, Alejandro González Iñárritu, Richard Linklater, Wes Anderson, James Marsh, and Damien Chazelle.
For Whiplash.
Yes.
So doesn't that say something about
Martin Tilden?
Yeah, it doesn't exactly say it. He didn't direct this film very well, but it's great. I don't think so.
No, because the direction is really now, awful. Yeah, so dull.
You'll notice a team going on here that Selma, which was eligible, is not. Has
because
not
nobody
been
bloody watched it.
Yeah. The screeners went out and it is eligible. Here's the one, right, when we get down to it, leading actress, Julianne Moore is in there. I'm not sure Still Alice is actually eligible because the... The BAFTA eligibility rules, as far as I understood them, is that the film can come out any time in the 14 months up to the ceremony, and Still Alice doesn't come out until after the ceremony.
Oh, that's a blatant...
That's very interesting.
Blatant disregard for the rules right there. Change it to Maps of the Stars.
I could live with that.
Mm.
The IFTA rules are different.
Oh, of course they are.
IFTA rules is a 14-month period, but if it showed at a festival, it's eligible.
And if you look at Ireland in any significant way, we'll nominate everything.
If you come to the IFTAs,
yeah,
you can have a nod.
If you're famous and come to Ireland with your film.
I'm going to RSVP to an IFTA, an IFTA invitation, and you will see me being nominated. I haven't been in a film, but try me.
Best actor.
Best actor, Philip Bagnell, for pretending to be happy at the IFTAs.
three more films under my belt and I get to become a member.
Huh?
What do you mean?
I will have produced six films at that stage and I will be eligible for IFTA. Yes. Anyway, original screenplay.
He's a mogul right here.
Original screenplay, Birdman.
Three days in this town he thinks he's David O'Fucking Selznick.
Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Nightcrawler and Whiplash.
Birdman.
So
and
again,
maybe Grand Budapest Hotel.
Did anything, did Fox actually get anything?
No, not a lot, no.
Acting.
Jesus Christ.
Best adapted screenplay, American Sniper, Gone Girl, The Imitation Game, Paddington, The Theory of Everything.
Of that lot, I want Gone Girl to win.
I'd love to see Gone Girl win.
Gone Girl's going to get nothing.
And no, of course not. But of that list, that's, again, the dull biopics.
Yeah.
Paddington has a shot there.
I hope so.
The BAFTA choose Whiplash as an original screenplay. It's not eligible as an original screenplay under Oscar rules.
Because it was a short, wasn't it?
Yes.
But again,
I think it's Oscar's issue there rather than the BAFTA's.
Yeah.
There's no uniformity.
The short was used to get funding for the feature.
Yeah, so
that
it was like
the purpose of it. It wasn't.
Geez, next trailer's cut to get money. It's madness.
Leading actor, Benedict Cumberbatch, Ralph Fiennes, Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Keaton, and Eddie Redmayne. So it's.
Poor Ralph Fiennes, can't catch a break.
I like Keaton a lot. I liked Redmayne. I just want Fiennes to win this so bad.
I want Fiennes to get something. He should get some recognition because it's a magnificent performance.
Leading actress, Amy Adams, Felicity Jones, Julianne Moore, Reese Witherspoon and Rosamund Pike.
Julianne Moore.
I'd like to see Rosamund Pike get something because she's probably the best thing about Conger.
And she's British. So
yeah, I'd like... She's not going to get a look in anywhere else. I'd like to see her get it.
Supporting actor, Patricia Arquette, Keira Knightley, Imelda Staunton, Emma Stone and Rene Russo.
Imelda Staunton?
For Pride.
Ah, the British thing again.
Patricia Arquette, the supporting actress.
Yes, that's the most common place that they have her. Yeah, so
it's got to be Arquette. But
yeah.
Rene Russo.
Wouldn't say no to Russo.
Yeah.
Arquette will get it, though.
Supporting actor, Robert Duvall, Ethan Hawke, Edward Norton, Mark Ruffalo, and J.K. Simmons.
Oh, the same people again. Yeah. Simmons, but Ethan Hawke.
Ruffalo, I'd like to see Ruffalo get something as well. He won't, but I'd like to see him get something.
No, I think it's Simmons to lose, but watch out for Hawke.
Original music, Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Interstellar, The Theory of Everything, and Under the Skin.
Under the Skin, good night.
Has to get that. It won't, but it has to.
Mika Levy, you are a demented young lady, and please stop terrifying me.
Keep
terrifying me.
Right, so spot the common theme here, right? In all of the other categories, so music, cinematography, screenplay, director... The Imitation Game does not turn up, right? So here's cinematography. Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Ida, Interstellar, and Mr. Turner.
That's because of bland.
I think Mr. Turner has to walk with that.
Ida is beautifully shot.
I know, but so is Mr. Turner. And also, as an apology, for God's sake, this is...
No apology is good enough.
But as an exercise in cinematography, Birdman is quite something as well.
Lebeshki did a very nimble job. It's a lot of fun to watch.
They're four good, candidates.
Yeah,
you know, no issue with that. Editing, Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Nightcrawler, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Gotta be Birdman.
I'm sorry, Birdman for editing, really?
Yeah. I mean, could you see those cuts?
Yeah.
But it's a digital bloody... this isn't rope, like, this isn't, do you know what I mean? You can fix this. Sorry, no, it doesn't get near editing for me, I'm sorry, no.
Ouch.
No way.
Production designs.
It's hard for fair, I
think. Very harsh. I don't think it's fair, though.
I think it's fair.
Production design. Big Eyes. Grand Budapest Hotel. Imitation Game. Interstellar. Mr. Turner for production.
You'll give him that. That's what you give him. Have a production. Look, you can dress them up, Mike.
Oh, you can shoot the pretty pictures. Go on, take.
But if Grand Budapest Hotel wins, Annie Atkins wins.
Oh.
Does she?
Yeah, well, she's part of
the... I hope she wins.
The production design team.
You can fly the flag on that for that one.
Hello, Annie Atkins. Great job. Big fans.
Yes. Terrific job there.
Oh, those Mendel's boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Costume design.
I want those.
The Grand Budapest Hotel. The Imitation Game. Into the Woods. Mr. Turner and Theory of Everything.
I don't know if Annie Atkins had any input on the costumes, but can she source me a Monsieur Gustave get-up? Because I really wanted to go as that to a fancy dress, too. Basically, I want Grand Budapest to win that.
Yeah. I could call for that as well.
Then.
Lea de Panache.
Makeup and hair. Grand Budapest Hotel, Guardians of the Galaxy, Into the Woods, Mr. Turner, and The Theory of Everything. So they're basically, it's all the same.
No Imitation Game, like you say. It's because it's such a shoddily made film.
Yeah.
But it's one of the best.
It's one of the best TV movies I've seen in the last week.
Best TV movie of the year, because the year is only 14
your
days
TV viewing experience.
One of the best TV movies ever made.
Now, sound, which is missing an obvious canvas. Yeah. American Sniper, Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Whiplash.
Yeah, where's Under the Skin?
Where the hell is Under the Skin in sound?
That, yeah.
Good God.
Did he get these out of a hat? What is wrong with these people?
I mean, I don't like Under the Skin, but the sound
is... Yeah, yeah. Nobody could argue that. It's an arguable.
That's crazy.
Then, best special effects, Dawn of Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies, which it has got appalling special effects, Interstellar, and X-Men Days of Future Past.
I'd say Interstellar.
Yeah.
Because...
Whatever about...
Good gravy.
It's all on the screen. Like, no argument.
Dawn of Planet of the Apes has some very good...
Yeah.
The apes are impressive.
That tracking shot with the tank.
But it's just a rip-off of Matt Reeves' shot from Let Me In. It's fine, but everybody's going on about that shot. I've seen it before.
Also, it was shot on location. It was motion capture on location.
It was a relay.
But it was motion capture on location, which is incredibly difficult to do. It wasn't motion capture against a green screen.
Ah, fair enough. It's a fine job, but I still think Interstellar gets it.
Yeah.
Then, we've already talked about the Rising Star Wars.
We have, and we're big fans of that. Come on, Jack!
Jack, lad.
Go on, lads.
So... Moving swiftly on.
Oh, swiftly.
One of our favourite horrors of last year, Limp, has been released online for free.
Yes, very, very generous. Yes. It's a fine film. I saw it early last year, I think. I reviewed it and really, really liked it. I know somebody gave it 5 stars on Scanon.
Yes.
I can't remember who it was.
It's got 5-star review, so that is the official line of the site. And yes, it's great. For what it is, which is a very low budget horror, it is
creepy as all hell. Yeah, I really like it.
So the filmmakers have given it away for free, but ask that donations are made to 2 charities. So
wow,
yeah, it's a fine idea, and it deserves a wider viewing kind of platform.
So links are on the website to that, or are on the Facebook page, or on our Twitter account.
Do watch it; it's very good.
Okay, on to the top 10.
Yes.
At 10, Dumb and Dumber 2 is now past the million mark.
There's money in that racket.
Money in old rope, quite literally money.
There's money in the bananas then.
I love the fact that in France, the title pun, Dumb and Dumber 2, T-O, it translates Dumb and Dumber 2, D-E. That's my level of humour, which tells me I'm not going to like Dumb and Dumber 2.
Nope.
Yeah,
you've seen it.
Yeah, it's silly. It's fine, but it's
Dumb and Dumber.
It's not the right kind of silly.
Silly. Quite agree. Well, get on with it.
It was quite a week. The lowest at 10 was 66,840 €860. That's
Considering a couple of months back, the lowest entry at 10 was like 15,000, 16,000.
Yeah, 20,000 would get you into the top 10. Yeah,
that's Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then, at 9, Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb.
Still here.
Staggered people going to see these films, I'd say.
That'll make, well, that'll make over 800,000.
You'll notice there's quite a few that you can bring your kids to.
Yeah, isn't that always the way?
Bloody Christmas.
Bloody kids. Anyway, yeah.
So, yeah, it's made $750,000.
Good on him. It ain't for me, but alas.
Then, at 8, Annie.
Surprisingly done okay, I think. I don't know what they were expecting, but...
Despite some poor reviews.
I mean, poor is generous. toxic, some of them. 700,000, it's okay,
though. Yeah, no, that is good. It's on the same sort of track as Night in the Museum. It should get similar type money, hit the million, thereabouts.
Not too shabby.
Then, at 7, and... down quite a bit, The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah.
Down, but it has, at this stage, it'll have grossed over 2.75 million.
Yep.
That's alright.
Highest grossing film of 2014. Highest grossing Irish release of 2014.
Really?
Yes.
I wish it flopped. I don't know what.
Other than Mr. Brown's Boys. But,
yeah, I thought there was something missing.
Yeah. And then, at 6, Paddington.
Yay!
7 weeks in the charts.
And shows no sign of slowing down, really. No. 1.7 million.
It's good for two.
Yeah,
it'll make two. Yeah.
I imagine they're fast-tracking a sequel like a madman at this age.
Waterloo?
I will be there for the sequel. And then, very good.
In which a small bear leads a fleet to war.
King's Cross, in which a small bear upsets a king.
Victoria, in which a small bear. We could do this all night. The whole every
Pier Street. Sorry, I got it. Anyway, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Tara, in which a small bear says goodbye in the Midlands.
Oh, let's not give up the day job.
Cock Fosters, in which that's the X-rated ripoff.
I'm not getting into the conversation on Cock Fosters. Rated PG-13.
Barnet Town, in which a small bear sends up a hairdresser.
Oh God, let's
Westminster, in which a small bear runs for Parliament and beats Nigel Farage.
I'd be happy with that.
Southbank, in which a small bear sends up a savings and loan.
Oh, God.
Piccadilly, in which a small bear runs off to the circus.
Oh.
Anyway.
Covent Garden. Enough.
At 5.
I can't bear these puns anymore.
God, oh, God. At 5, Birdman.
No, there's no puns in that.
No.
Still
flying high.
Oh,
second week down to number 2. 380,000 so far. That's
half a mil should be no problem.
No, half a mil will be easily.
That's okay.
Not bad at all.
Not too shabby.
At 4, The Theory of Everything.
Yeah, I probably need to see this, don't I?
You should. Well, it's one of the Oscar contenders, so...
Yeah, I will see it.
It's doing better than Birdman. Doing quite well, all told. I've got no grumbles with that performance, really, because it's fine.
You've no grumbles, really?
Well, like, it's perfectly adequate. I wish Birdman were doing better than it, but it's...
Yeah.
I don't begrudge it its success.
Okay.
Unlike The Imitation Game.
Yeah, which you begrudge every penny.
And then some. I want my money back.
Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen it as well. So
excellent.
We have all three of us have now seen Foxcatcher. I hate the score.
I know, we heard.
So much.
So what do you like then?
Everything else.
Wow.
I like the cinematography, love the acting. It's it is a mood piece. It is
very much
it's
a mood
oppressive piece to watch, but it is quite stunning.
Mm. Chilling.
Yeah. If it had a decent score. Oh, it would have been something else.
I think you're focusing a bit too much on that score. I didn't notice. The most bits I noticed weren't even the original score.
Yeah, it really annoyed me.
Interesting, actually. But Donald Clark and John McGregor gave it 5 stars. Which I think it's going well, going over well, pretty well here.
It is. It is.
Yeah, you gave 4.5, though.
I did.
You know,
that's pretty generous. That.
For you.
Yeah.
For any of us, really.
Unless Frozen.
But I think it's an excellent film, and one I'm intrigued to kind of rewatch over the next couple of years and see, is it that good? You know, let it give it time to do its thing, and I think it could be right up there.
Most thing that sticks with me after the fact is just Vanessa Redgrave's chilliness in it. Wrestling is a low sport, and I don't like to see you being low. Ooh.
Yeah.
Even all that. Great.
Yeah, she's very good.
John DuPont is very sinister. And
he's just sitting still.
Yeah, but it's telegraphed, is it not, that he's going to do something sinister, you know?
Yeah, so. Yeah, but it's not aiming for a thriller. It's not aiming for... There's an inevitability to it, I think that's the thing. And if you go with it within that way, I think it works. Yeah. I can see what you're talking about, though. I know exactly what you're saying.
He is sinister, but there's a sinister feel to the whole film.
Yeah,
it's sinister before you even get to the DuPont.
The colour palette.
Yeah.
Sets you right slap bang in the 80s. It's
a great job. That's Greg Fraser is the
great work on it.
There.
Yeah,
he very, also very did good. Killing Them Softly.
Excellent work also.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really like Foxcatcher, and I recommend that people check it out.
So do I.
Then, at 2, Into the Woods.
Yeah, haven't seen it.
No, neither have I.
No.
I'm sure it's fine, and I'm sure when you watch it, you'll tell us why.
Anya reviewed it for the site. She quite liked it.
Yeah. Due to contractual dispute, it's not showing in any IMC cinemas nationwide.
Interesting.
Yeah, so... That's, as you can see, it only opened in 43 locations rather than 50, the high 50s, which it should have. And that would have negatively impacted its box office.
Sure.
It would have taken possibly, $200,000 rather than $172,000 had it opened in the IMC locations, because they've got Screen, Savoy.
A lot of places.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Yep. Disney, whatever, you know, sort that out if you want to make money.
Yeah, because Disney aren't making enough.
Yeah, they're well.
But also, I imagine our market is not really where the profits come from. Like, I mean, you know.
No.
As long as they're not, you know, losing out in the US or...
No.
Or the UK.
Or the UK.
And then, at 1, In With a Bullet.
Inevitable.
And it had a 4-day opening weekend, so it's already past $500,000. Taken 3.
Taken the piss.
It's taken for a ride.
It's a phenomenal one, isn't it? I mean, you were saying it's like...
It is the third highest in January opener in the US. It made $39.8 million this opening weekend. That's on a $48 million budget.
So, to say it's going to make profit is an understatement.
By today, it's already in profit in just the US alone.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah. So it's
Lord knows there's not anything else in the film.
It's amazing, though. Like, he's a proper star. Like, he's opening these things left, right, and centre.
Yes, but what I want to see is what he's going to do with this power he has.
Yeah.
I want him to go up to Spielberg's door and say, "Hey, remember when I was supposed to be in Lincoln? You better start making that up."
But he is doing the Scorsese, so.
Yeah, well, there is that.
But that's the new Scorsese not good enough for you all of a sudden.
I still would have liked to have seen his Lincoln.
Yeah, Deadpool's is fine.
Deadpool's is great.
Yeah.
But...
I had problems with Lincoln.
I really like Lincoln, actually.
I really like Lincoln, but it had a...
I liked it.
It had
script
issues.
I had big problems with it.
Now, on to new releases.
Yeah.
First new release, and Philip is going to go see it tomorrow. American Sniper.
Oh, goody.
Yes.
Eastwood Goes to War, again.
With
Bradley Cooper, the... most successful sniper in the US military. Why do I want to see this? This is going to be ground that has been covered. Well, I'm sure it'll be just be... I'll be coming out of it thinking, but Hurt Locker's did it better.
Or Zero Dark Thirty or...
Or anything like that.
It's
Heartbreak Ridge.
Maybe. Any which way but loose.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's another true story, another
yeah.
It's coming out, it sounds overly noble,
yeah.
And I don't know, I can only try so much of that, I can take it awards season.
And I'm not a huge fan of Cooper, I heard he's very good in this, but
I've heard Cooper's quite good, but I don't know, it remains to be seen. I'm sure it'll be perfectly watchable and fine. I'll let you know next week, but yeah, I don't know. Eastwood is he's upping his he's upping his work rate. This is his second film this year.
Yeah,
in the space of a year after Jersey Boys. This is supposed to be better than Jersey Boys.
That's bode well for Ridley Scott.
Yeah, it did.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. In any case, American Sniper, I'm sure it'll be perfectly solid and fine. I might even be surprised. Who knows? But it's just something that seems so worthy, predictably worthy to it, that I'm struggling to get excited.
One suspects there's not a surprise to be had in it.
Probably not. Soldier, great at killing, but maybe doesn't want to kill. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm making hand and facial gestures here to suggest some sarcasm, and I appreciate you can't see those.
They're fine gestures, though.
Damn this oral medium in which we work.
Also opening limited release is the Irish documentary Apples of the Golan.
Now, this sounds interesting. This is about a village, one of the last remaining Arab villages in the Golan Heights in Israel. Hot topic.
IFB funded. Interesting, like. RFB funded, sorry.
IFB, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Irish directors. It's
Oh, really?
Yes,
oh, excellent.
Jill Beardsworth and Keith Walsh, who went out to Golan the Golan Heights to film this. And it's been a few years.
A couple of years ago, was it?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years ago. It's taken a while to get to the screen, so.
Do we have any idea why? Because I'm not to suggest that this is the reason, but considering the topic it's dealing with.
Yeah,
last year probably would have been a better time to release it.
Earlier this year.
You're dealing with the Syrian conflict.
Yeah. Have you seen any reviews of it?
Have been positive. Yeah. I've seen a few. There's been a few out already. Entertainment.ie gave 4. So it's.
What's the broken cameras?
Five broken cameras.
Have to go with a good one to beat that.
I still haven't seen that. I've heard.
But it's an interesting and wordy subject.
Oh sure, absolutely. It's an interesting.
That's why I find it so interesting that it has taken so long to get to this point.
But it's set to expand next week, following week into other cinemas around the country.
Good work.
So then. We have Testament of Youth.
Now, this is, it looks very worthy. But the reviews have actually been pretty solid, so maybe it's able to do something with the idea. Basic story, it's a story of Vera Brittain, who worked as a nurse during World War I, while soldier other half went off to war, that kind of story.
She wants to be an author.
But both their ambitions are just getting stifled by this conflict into which they're drawn. It's a classy British cast, led by Alicia Vikander and
soon to be seen in Ex Machina as well.
Yeah, this is going to be a good year for her.
Yeah,
we like a rising starlet.
Indeed.
And it looks lovely. Could be nice old school weepy.
Yeah, I look forward to checking this one out.
Bring Your Mum.
Exactly, that's what my mum was like. That looks like something I would enjoy. And I say it is. I will check that out the weekend. Then, on to something that we have seen. Whiplash.
I've seen this.
Yes. You're the only one.
Oh, right. Jay, do you remember last week when you were talking about Birdman? You were saying, I'm going to have to be a bad guy in this.
You're going to be a bad guy in this one, Elizabeth.
A little bit, and I seem to be the only one, because the reviews for Whiplash have been astonishingly positive, overwhelmingly great, and there's a lot to like in it. It's energetic, it's fierce, it's entertaining as heck, too. Basic story is Miles Teller plays a freshman at a university. He's studying music. He wants to get into this prestigious jazz band led by this dictator of a teacher played by J.K. Simmons. And it's not just that he's tough on his students, he abuses them. He hurls abuse at them. He will physically hurt them if they're not getting things right.
Yeah, physically and verbally abusive.
Mentally,
not
torturing them, basically.
Not sexually abusive.
No.
Okay.
But, geez, did I have to imply that?
You kind of have to say these things just to clear things up.
It's not that kind of film, but it is still pretty horrible what he does to them. He basically taunts them, ridicules them, breaks their spirits. And my issue with it is the film suggesting that this is actually a good thing, and maybe even a necessary thing for artistic development and growth? I think the film may be positing that, and I find that troubling.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to see it again, and I'd love for you, I hope you two get
to see it. I shall definitely be seeing
it. I will be watching that weekend.
It's a strange one. Because it takes the idea of something, think Dead Poets Society, with your inspiring teacher. Come on, boys, seize the day. No, it's, you're a worthless piece of crap, and do what I say.
So are we talking Full Metal Jacket? Or not, like in the
Full Metal Jacket
of,
with a music degree.
Yeah.
Kind of.
In terms of, like, dehumanise and break spirit.
Yes.
But make somebody be the person they are.
Well, yeah, kind of. But to suggest that it's actually a good thing, I find that moral quite troubling.
Yeah. Is that not a bad thing to have a moral in there that's kind of wriggly, a little kind of
maybe
grey, to push it a little bit, to
well,
think about it a little more?
Well, if it was that grey, I don't know if people would be so enamoured with it.
Yeah.
Also, as well as that, J.K. Simmons, who just won the Golden Globe, and I think he's the favourite for the Oscar as well for his supporting turn, as Fletcher, the teacher. He's incredible. He's great. He's all energy. But when I start to think about it, I wonder, I don't think there's all that much to the character. I think it's actually fairly thinly drawn.
But is that, does that make performance all the more?
It makes, I think it accentuates his turn.
Yeah.
I don't think it does the film any favours, though.
Okay.
Teller is very good against him. I think it's a pity he's kind of getting a bit overshadowed. Not least because he has a heck of drumming talent.
Yeah.
On the whole, I like it because of its energy and very, very watchable. And you're just wondering where it is going to go because you're not quite sure. It keeps you on your toes. It's from directorial debut from Damien Chazelle.
And it opens Sundance.
And it opens Sundance, where all its hype started. And
it opens Sundance on, because Sundance opens on a Thursday, and it played on a Thursday night, and
it's generally sort of
just Sundance opens with a whimper, and then Friday into the weekend is when it gets really good. People had passed on Whiplash and then were genuinely upset
when they missed it. My review is on the site, and it's probably the most pessimistic review of all the ones I've seen because it is getting raves. I'm keen to hear what people think. If I've raised any valid points at all, I don't know anymore. I definitely need to rewatch it at some point, but I have issues.
Yeah, I remember you after seeing it when you saw it in London.
Yeah.
And you were, maybe lukewarm's a little harsh, but certainly.
I like it. I'm just not as warm to it as some. I've seen Masterpiece, 5-star reviews. I'm not going that far.
Well, I'm always a little cagey when you see 5 stars for what's essentially allowed actors to turn to some way. I think I'm not going to denigrate the performance of
J.K. Simmons.
I'm sure he's great because he's a terrific actor.
He is.
But I think sometimes people carry that away from the film as opposed to the film.
Mm.
It can dazzle.
Well, this is my point. Because once you look past the character and you look at the moral, the moral's troubling, and again, when it comes to that character, besides that bluster that Simmons brings to it, and he's just raw energy in this, terrifying. But is there anything else too much besides anger and a love of jazz?
See, I'm more intrigued to see it with a slightly calmer, kind of, not negative, but certainly it's a damper, because it kind of focuses on, as you mentioned earlier, of actually critiquing and watching and observing, as opposed to
Irma Gerd, best film ever.
Yeah.
Give,
so
I'm
really, look, it's J.K. Simmons. I'm there. The day that I'm there, like, I mean, that's
good.
That's a given.
Well, if at least one of you sees it next week, come back to me.
Shall,
I want to hear
what
you think.
We shall chat next week.
Then on to another one that you've seen, Philip, Wild. Last opener of the week.
Ah, hooray.
I will not be seeing this next week, by the way, Philip. So
I understand, Jay. My review is on the site.
Philip is not wild about Wilds.
which is funny because it's getting largely positive reviews. I don't know why. It's a slightly better take on Eat, Pray, Love, as far as I'm concerned.
Slightly better. That sounds
okay. It's better, but that's about as much as I'm going to give it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair
it's Reese Witherspoon playing Cheryl Strayed, a woman who opted to walk the 1,100-mile Pacific Crest Trail between the U.S. borders of Mexico and Canada as a kind of penance for a lot of her sins in her life. There's drug abuse, a lot of familial tensions and regrets, and so on and so forth. And yay, life affirmation. It's, for lack of a better word, because of all the walking, it's pedestrian.
Hey!
I am about the 10,000th critic to make that joke. I'm sorry.
It's good, though.
It's a good one. It's from Jean-Marc Vallée, the director of Dallas Buyers Club, another pedestrian pick.
Yeah, I wasn't as enamored with that as most.
I think it's okay.
It's a movie of the week.
It's McConaughey
with a great performance.
And
super
not much else.
Yeah.
Witherspoon, she does her best with the suffering and the, you know, the physical endeavours of it all, but the character as written and played is a bit too whiny for my taste. And yeah, some people might find it inspiring, but it's very drippy and watchable enough, but meh.
Yeah, I won't be out of my way to catch it.
No. So, who was it? I think it was Oliver Littleton. He wrote a great review. I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 more, just to be the man who doesn't have to watch this film anymore. Very nicely done.
That's good. I like that.
Yep. And that's pretty much my summation of this.
Good enough.
And on that note, we shall leave it for the week. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye.